Thank you both so much, and thank you all for singing along. I absolutely love Bluegrass Sunday, despite my wife believing it's only because I get to dress up in cowboy cosplay. I actually really do enjoy everything about the day. There's something about being outside that just, I think, connects us to something, I don't know. You know, back in 1892, this congregation got its start in a barn that stood just catty corner from where we're sitting right now. In a barn! There were horses. There was hay. There was music. There were people joining together, and some of the same songs we're singing this morning. And I love that feel of history. I love the chance to be together and to be outside. And I will say, most of all, I love the music. I absolutely love the hymns we get to sing today. Some of the ones that are definitely clearly bluegrass songs from their very origins. Others that are just hymns that we sort of do in a bluegrass style. All of it works. All of it works, but especially these bluegrass tunes. You know, there's all sorts of musicologists who love to dig into the history of bluegrass and where it comes from, and there's some amazing stuff. I actually like to look at some of the practitioners, not just the theorists. When you talk to folks like Dan Fogelberg or Dolly Parton, they will tell you the power of bluegrass is in the story. They tell stories. That's what we're getting to share and enjoy together. The power of story, because it talks about real life, it talks about difficulty, it talks about loss, it talks about the real stuff. And if there's anything I think we've all been living through these last months and months, is we've been living through the real stuff. We're carrying grief, we're carrying frustration. And I'll tell you, we're going to get to "I'll Fly Away" at the end, but there have been many a day where I thought, oh, flying away sounds lovely. I would love to fly away from some of the mess and some of the difficulty. The songs invite us to remember. They invite us to remember people. They invite us to remember how real the situations and how real life is. These are real things. But they don't get stuck, and they don't only dwell in the past. They carry a hopefulness. The songs invite us to remember that there is a future ahead of us. They invite us to remember the promise. Will the circle be unbroken? I'll fly away. Especially these two, these very quintessential bluegrass songs, speak about this idea of someday it will be better. Someday we'll be connected once again. Someday we'll get away from all the mess. Remembering the promise. That's part of our story as God's people. But one of the things I think is really crucial is that we don't lose sight of where we are while we're looking to the future. I used to be a camp counselor, and when I was doing the summer camp thing, we'd go on our hikes, and there was one particularly difficult meadow, right? Sure, there were steep hillsides, there were rivers to cross, but there was this one difficult meadow because all the grasses and flowers were just above knee high. And you'd get to this meadow, and you knew you wanted to get to the other side. And if all you did was look across the meadow, you could not find the path in front of you. Now, at the same time, if all you did was look right down, you could find the path, but then you didn't really know where you were going on it. This was a very difficult meadow because you had to look up and know where you wanted to go while you were still looking for what was right in front of you. And I always found this meadow to be the most beautiful metaphor for how we muddle through life, right? Sometimes we look up and we're like, I know where I want to be, but I don't know how to get there. And there's other times we can get so stuck on, okay, I think I know where to put one foot in front of the other, but why do I even keep going? I don't know where I'm going. This tension that we live in is one of the things the music captures for us today. It's also one of the things Jesus spent a lot of time talking about. Jesus talked about real life because Jesus was living real life. This wasn't just prophets thinking about what God might have said at one time. This was God incarnate living our lives and talking about our stuff. Jesus talked about what was, what is, and what will be, but always centered in the present moment. Jesus did a lot to tie together what will be with what was. You know, one of the phrases you don't hear me use very often in sermons, and I don't know if it's the cowboy hat and the big buckle, but let's talk about repentance for a moment, shall we? I want to talk to you about this idea of repentance. It's something that Jesus talked a lot about. And sometimes repentance gets used as this "you must repent" kind of energy, and people can see it as this negative, judgmental, heavy thing. I think it's a hopeful thing. When we hear the word repent, what the word truly means is to turn around. To turn around. You know what that means? That means you got a problem, And what we're being invited to do is to turn away from it, to look for something new, to move on from what was, to look forward to what will be. Jesus spent time talking about what was in the difficulty and what will be in the future, but it was always anchored in the moment. And we can find that in Jesus' very first sermon. So Jesus gets out, he's doing his thing, he gets baptized, he's rocking on his own now, and the very first thing he ever preaches about is the kingdom of God. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, what God wants for the world, all that's possible. Love, acceptance, justice, hope. And where does Jesus say this kingdom is? Well, most of our Bibles will translate it as at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand, our scriptures say. But my favorite translation, it's the Common English Bible. It's a new one, really academic, but really accessible. They translated it this way, and the verse has never hit home so strong for me. Jesus' first sermon, Jesus' first words in the gospel there are, "The kingdom of God is on your doorstep." Right? The idea of at hand is sort of this random concept, but on your doorstep. I mean, this is better than Amazon leaving a picture of where the package is on the porch. It's right there. But think about this. Is there anything about the where we are and where we're going more so than a doorstep? Jesus is talking about the future. We're invited to look forward to what will be, but that's the neat thing about a doorstep. The doorstep is the future, but it's also right now. It's that very first step into what will be. And that's where we find the kingdom. The kingdom of God is on our doorstep because that doorstep is the very first step we get to take right now into whatever will be. You see, this moment, when we started the service, this moment right now was the future. But here we are right now. It's the present. And I'm going to talk to you about what happens after the service like it's the future, but then again, you're going to be there in just a minute. Some of you may know I spend a little bit of time on TikTok. And my wife is shaking her head saying, no, it's not a little bit of time. Okay, I spend too much time on TikTok. But I bumped into someone who was talking about the movie Back to the Future and all these other movies with time travel. Now, if you ever spend any time on the internet, you will find all sorts of people. They get really deep into the conversations of time travel. Oh my goodness, about what's possible, what's not possible. But it doesn't matter what kind of argument people are having about if you need a flux capacitor or not. The one thing it seems like everyone can agree on is if we ever do time travel, we have to be really careful because if we go back in time, what might happen? We might change the future. We're all aware of this, right? Like if somehow we end up going back in time, if we step on a butterfly, suddenly Europe doesn't exist. I don't know. But we've seen this, right? And here was the question someone posed this week to me. Okay, they posed it to like millions of people, but I thought they were talking to me. And they said, how come we all believe that if we go back in time and change even the smallest thing, it can change everything about the future? But we neglect to realize that what we're living in now will eventually be the past. How come we don't give our choices today the same power we give the idea of going back to change one little thing? Every little thing today has the capacity to change everything that will be. And I sat there looking at my phone screen going, whoa. This is what's at our doorstep. All that will be, a future filled with love, acceptance, justice, and hope, all of these things, that kingdom of God that we long to see is on our doorstep. This is the moment in which the tiny decisions, the little decisions we make every single day will shape and change everything that is to come. What a powerful thing. What an amazing gift we have been given. Because that future with hope, that beautiful promise of God's kingdom is arriving. And all we need to do is take a single step into it. And not only will we have arrived in that kingdom, but we will have helped shape and create it for all that will come. May we remember that as we seek to live, as we seek to turn away from what has been, and truly receive all that God offers. Amen.